Why do you go to this church? What keeps you coming? Pete Wilson, one of the pastors at Cross Point Church in Tennessee, asked that question in his online blog at withoutwaxtv.com. Don't ask me what that's all about. I don't know. There were some 109 posts, and I'm going to read only three of them. We have time. We're running early. Cecil C. says, I am a member and serve at my church because that is where God the Father wants me to be. What God has taught me about worshiping Him is that most of what happens depends on me. Am I prayed up when I walk in the building? Have I prayed throughout the week for my pastor? Have I prayed for those I know who are struggling? Do I make an extra effort to make people feel welcome? It is not up to me to criticize the preaching, music, or programs. If I am truly walking in the Spirit, I get fed, and I am able to overlook the shortcoming of others. Satan loves church grumblers. Amen to that. Dave Ferris says, I just feel like after leaving the stuffy, judgmental, religious way of doing church as we grew up, several of us have experienced a more authentic and real experience with relevant down-to-earth and yet challenging messages. Now that we have been exposed to this new, refreshing way of corporately worshiping our God, it is hard to return to the older way. I do not mean to criticize the effectiveness of our home church. Simply put, it just reaches a different tribe of people. But then he finishes with, I will admit, it is a selfish mentality. Finally, Lori says, started because of the location, closest church to our home. Stayed because of the people. Love the staff, congregation, and the community involvement. It's a church where the pastor will say, if you're looking for the perfect church, you're at the wrong place. We're all sinners. We will mess up, but we are all family. So let me paraphrase. Cecil says she goes to where God has led her, and it's up to her to help the church be worth going to. Dave says he left the traditional church for a more modern, freewheeling church where he can have fun worshiping the Lord, but he admits he's being selfish about it. And Lori started going to her church because it was closest to her home, but she stays because of the people and the community involvement. All three of these people have come to the same conclusion. It's up to us, the people of the church, to make our church a place that's worth coming to. To make it a church where people can come and be filled up with the love of Christ. Where people can connect with other Christians and be fortified for the week ahead. Where people can put feet to their faith and get involved in the community locally, nationally, and even globally. To make it a place that is relevant. We're going to show you a short video now where the proverbial man on the street is asked, is the church relevant? Now, these are not hand-picked churchgoers. These are regular, random people on the street. So this could be a good insight into what the average American feels about church. If you've only been hanging out with other churchgoers, you might find some of it a little bit shocking.
90% of the time, I feel the church is just something the families do. It's the new family dinner.
I'm not going too much now, and I miss the fellowship.
I think it brings a connection to us.
It's something that you go to more often. Let's go find answers.
Some churches are not relevant to today's society.
It's not really updated with daddy time and stuff like that.
Everybody's too worried about stepping on somebody else's toes.
It's a declining role or a negative role now. And that's, I guess, as a church leader, that's partly my fault.
The church plays a huge role in our culture. It impacts everything.
On the economy, on politics, on everything.
I think that the churches are too much separated by the denominations.
It is relevant to culture, but not particularly as well.
All people, whether they have been in or not, are reaching out for religion in one form or another.
I think that the Bible, they've got some good editors in there.
I grew up and I still believe that the Bible is a very important written historical document.
I don't think that word for word is truth.
The interpretation changes as you're ready to accept that.
A lot of it is not geared to today's world.
Because it's like stories just told down until now, so somebody started writing it down.
I think the Bible's relevant in not only American culture, but all other cultures.
It's still the number one best-selling book in the world.
I think it's all oversold sometimes.
I think it's being challenged a lot more these days.
I cannot say that being lost in the wilderness and eating bugs is relevant to me.
But people say it's not relevant because they don't read it.
Whatever situation you fall into, you can find one just like it in the Bible.
Were there comments in the video that you especially agreed with or disagreed with? Let's do a little bit of class participation. I'm going to give you a statement from the video, and you tell me if you agree with a thumbs up, disagree with a thumbs down, or you're not really sure, do one of these. How's that? Church is a new family dinner. Okay, good. I see some of you have commitment issues. Some of you can't make any kind of decision at all. Okay? That's all right. We don't want to put you on the spot if you don't want to be there. Let's try the next one. Church is a place to find answers. Okay, good. Good. That's a little more easy. That's an easy one, right? The church is too worried about stepping on each other's toes. Okay, good. Nowadays, the church has a declining negative role in society. Good. The church is too separated with all the different denominations. How about being lost in the wilderness and eating bugs is not relevant to me? I want to see everybody's answer on this one. Well, you'd be surprised how relevant that is in the right context, but that's another time, that's another sermon. So maybe Sunday can do that. All right, thanks for participating. So why is it that so many of them don't think church is relevant? Well, can you think of a TV show or a movie in which a scene took place in some sort of church group, a worship service, a Bible study, etc.? Can you think of any characters who mentioned being involved with their church? Anybody? Seventh Heaven? Yep. Anybody else? Little House? Well, that's an old one, though. That's not really on anymore. The Simpsons, you stole my thunder, I was going to say The Simpsons. You know, The Simpsons, they go to church every Sunday, even if Homer is sleeping during the sermon and Bart's playing with the video game. But, you know, there's some examples, but not many. When you get past weddings, funerals, and Seventh Heaven, there's not much left. And if you do find one, more than likely they're being portrayed as a major hypocrite. And I'm going to stray from the script a little bit here and say that, you know, I hear that a lot from people who don't go to church. They say, well, the church is just full of hypocrites. You know, they're out boozing on Saturday night and sinning, and in a church, you know, there's something different. And, you know, a long time ago, I used to feel that way, too. At least that was one of my excuses for not coming to church. But then when Tyler was born, we started coming to church for Tyler's sake. And I started getting involved in the church. I started actually meeting the people and getting to know them, and I found out that that just wasn't true. That all this time, I was the hypocrite. I was the one being judgmental. That the church is full of good, decent, loving, faithful people. So don't ever let anybody tell you that they don't come to church because it's full of hypocrites. Because we know that's not true. So in a gentle way, you could say, I don't agree with that. You know, I know lots of good people in church. Why don't you come with me, and we'll meet some of them. Try that next time. So back to the script. We're not talking about spirituality. Characters often talk about God or religion or morality, but a positive connection to a church seems strangely absent. This is especially odd because an estimated 40% of Americans attend church each Sunday, about the same number as watch the Super Bowl on TV. So why do you think this is? Why don't we see characters connecting with churches, learning, growing, and finding comfort in worship and Bible classes and small groups? Even the Simpsons only seem to come and go from church. They're not really connected to it. We can blame the media, but maybe we can also share some of the blame. Yes, it's true that the people who make TV shows and movies seem to be completely unaware of the value of a church connection. But have we Christians been demonstrating that value very well? Do we complain about church more than we praise it? Do we judge outsiders rather than invite them in? are churches exerting more power than love these days? In our scripture lesson today, we read Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. This is my personal favorite, and I try to use it as a guiding principle for friendship, marriage, family, church, and life in general. Let's take a closer look and see if we can find any help in here. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Why do you suppose Paul chose to say, clothe yourselves with these virtues instead of just do this? To clothe yourself with something means to put it on, to wear it all day long. Others will see what you have chosen to clothe yourself with and will react to you based on that. You've heard of the expressions, you are what you wear, and dress for success. Paul is describing here the ideal Christian character. He's not giving us rules to obey, but rather defining what the character of a true Christian looks like. But this is about more than just outward appearances. What Paul is asking us to do is to become something new, to clothe ourselves with these Christian virtues, and in so doing be transformed into a new person. Just as in 2 Corinthians he wrote, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Also one of my personal favorites. So you see, Paul is not telling us what we should do, but what we should strive to become, like Christ. Kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What's interesting here is that Paul assumes things will go wrong. Sometimes we get the idea that the Bible sets up an impossible standard for us and assumes that we will be perfect people. Not me. No way. I don't know many perfect people. In the church, there are some people who will annoy us, even offend or hurt us. Maybe we'll be the offending ones at times. We need to bear with each other. Remember the virtue of patience. There will be a need for forgiveness within the church. We will wrong one another, but we need to pass on the forgiveness we have received from the Lord. Remember that he forgave those who crucified him, saying they know not what they do. The parable of the unmerciful servant found in Matthew 18 starts with Peter asking Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answers, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven. What he's telling us is that there is no numeric limit to forgiveness. One more thing. In the parable, a servant forgiven by his master refuses to forgive other servants. When his master finds out, he turns the unforgiving servant over to jailers to be tortured. Jesus finishes the parable by saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. God is the master and we are his servants. I think I better learn how to forgive. How about you? Now, Jesus backs up this message with the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As the prayer indicates, the forgiveness we receive from God is connected to our willingness to forgive others. Let's continue with verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you have love in your heart, the virtues listed above will be attainable. Love is the virtue that binds the others and keeps them from falling by the wayside. Verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our behavior needs to be informed and controlled by the teachings of Christ. We need to be listening to his word every day as whispered by the Spirit. and we need to share his words with one another, teaching, admonishing, and singing. What does that sound like? Does that sound like church? Sunday school? We teach through scriptures, sermon, Sunday school, Bible study, and other small groups every week. Admonish means to urge to a duty, remind, or give advice to all in a mild, good-willed manner. Remember that. Do we do that? I think, yeah, to an extent we do that. Could we do a better job of it? Perhaps. So what could we do better? How can our church be more like the biblical ideal? I don't have that answer, and I don't expect you to answer that now. But I would like you to consider that question in the coming weeks. As you go about your lives, consider this question for yourself and for our church. Now I want to turn to our other scripture lesson, which was the focus of the pre-worship video, Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. In this passage, Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. This was the major division in the early church. Jewish tradition promoted separation from the heathen Gentiles, and most of the first Christians were Jewish. But as the church spread through the Gentile world, churches were becoming mixed. In verses 19 through 20, however, Paul reminds us, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with God, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." Again, we see Christ as the center, as the cornerstone. And we as Christians are to see ourselves as fellow citizens, no matter how different we are culturally, economically, or geographically. We are all brothers and sisters in God's family. So let's try to bring this to a practical level and talk about three areas in which we can make the church better and more relevant. But before we do that, I'm going to stray from the script again. And I want to say that I believe that the two churches, Christ and Zion, I believe we're in a great transformational period in our history. I mean, things are happening. When have we ever had parking problems before? Except Christmas and Easter. So things are going, things are happening. Now, I am a project manager at a big financial company. And so in the business world, nothing is ever perfect. You are always striving to improve. And usually what that means is you have a performance plan, and on that plan you have three core competencies that you're to work on that year and improve so you get your bonus. Well, in that spirit, let's look at these three things that we're going to talk about as our three core competencies to work on to improve. So there are three questions or three things that we're going to talk about: walls, forgiveness, and gifts. And then we're going to ask ourselves these three questions. Question one: what walls exist between church groups in our church, and how can Jesus break them down? Well, one way is to remember that we're all brothers and sisters in the family of God and to support each other's efforts in the church. Maybe we could put this into action by promoting cross-ministry activities. For example, wouldn't it be awesome? Oh, awesome. That's a Pastor Sonny word, right? I mean, I find myself using the word awesome a lot lately, and I never used to use it. How many of you find yourself using the word awesome more than you usually do? Yeah, she's going to kill me when she listens to this video, to this audio. But anyway, it's a good word. Wouldn't it be awesome if the Owls in the youth group would do something together once or twice a year? Wouldn't those walls come crumbling down, both old and young, learning how to better appreciate each other? And I'm sure if we put our minds to it, there are many, many opportunities to knock out a few bricks and reach across those walls. That's just one way we could knock down those walls. And I challenge you to think of some other ways if you're involved in ministries. Question two: is the lack of forgiveness and bearing with a problem in this church? If so, what can we do about it, and how can we promote forgiveness and patience between ourselves? Remember, the forgiveness we receive from God is dependent on the forgiveness we extend to others. And finally, question three: how can we get everyone to use their God-given abilities to build up the church? Can we develop methods of discovering gifts, appreciating them, developing them, using them, and fitting them together? Well, We might be able to provide some direction for you on this, as Alan mentioned in the announcements. In your bulletin is an insert with the ministries currently available at Christ in Zion and who to contact to get involved. I invite you to take it out now and put it in your wallet, pocket, purse, anywhere where it won't get lost. When you get home today, take a look at it and see if there's a ministry that could use your special skills. Or as the kids say, skills. We all have skills, things that we could do, things that we do better than most others. I challenge you, if you aren't already involved, to find a ministry and get involved. Or maybe you want to start your own. That's exactly what happened just recently when Susie Cooper saw a need and an opportunity to start the Angel Food Ministries. The important thing is to get involved. Is Susie here today? No? Okay. You'd be amazed at the difference it can make in your life and in the church. As we get to know other members, we may find those walls just melting away. And it's hard to hold a grudge against someone you've been working beside in a ministry to glorify our Father. Then, as others see how involved so many members are in the community and how we support each other, they might start to think that maybe the church can be relevant in their lives too. There's a popular song by the Newsboys called Shine. It goes like this. Shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Shine. So remember the video? You heard the folks in that video. Most of them weren't convinced that the church had much to offer them. So let's change that. Let's follow the direction of Paul and clothe ourselves in the virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave us. And let's get actively involved in building up the church and making it a place where people will eagerly come because it is relevant to their lives. Let's shine. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the awesome blessing of our church and the wonderful and active people we worship with. We know that we don't always treat each other as we should. We admit that we have fallen short of the ideal Christian values, and we humbly ask your forgiveness. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to meet the challenge Paul has placed before us, to clothe ourselves in the virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to bind them with love, and to be patient and forgiving with each other, as you have been patient and forgiving with us. Lord, help us to work together to break down any walls that exist in our church. Help us to work together to make the church relevant to others, in our community, and in the world at large. Help us to do good works and glorify you. Help us to shine. Amen.